Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in these circumstances. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. Rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe. Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light. You lived and died, you broke the chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us, you are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. You are the hope, living in us. You are the rock, in whom we trust. You are the light, shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today, and welcome to our worship service. We're glad that you're here, and some announcements that I have before we go on with our service. So I'll mention a few things in the bulletin. Not this week, but the next week, next Monday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, will be our Family Fun Trilogy. It talks about that in the bulletin, so we're excited about that, and trusting the Lord for that to work out as it should. Then the following week, on the 10th through the 12th, is the all-church cleaning. So please, you know, we had the list in the July Salem Spire. It's in the August Salem Spire, too. Look for your names in there. There's crew leaders in the bigger sections that should be contacting people. And everything goes well when we all show up to work. Next Sunday, we do have Holy Communion, first Sunday of August, And so we'll do that as we did the first Sunday of June. As you were here, you know we'll have the table set up here and the congregation will be ushered forward. So it seemed to work very well last time, and we'll do that again. I also wanted to mention there is, several have been asking for an address for Les and Kathy Melhoff. There's Sioux Falls address, and so that is in the bulletin insert for you if you'd like to send a card up to them. Otherwise, David Herbolt, he is going to make an announcement actually from the sound booth about a project this week over at the parsonage.
All right, here we go. We are going to be removing one tree by the parsonage, and two other trees we're going to be trimming down. And so there'll be some extra wood there. If anybody is interested in some wood for burning or whatever the purpose might be, Wednesday would be the day to come and help us with the pickup. We have a tree service coming in either Monday or Tuesday to remove some of those branches that are hanging out over the parsonage. So we need to get those trimmed up. And after that, on Wednesday, we can remove those big limbs, cut them up, or whatever it might be. So if you're interested in wood, I guess let me know. And you would need to bring your own trailer and saw and stuff like that. So any questions, look me up after the service. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Dave. So any available help, what, about 8:30, I guess, on Wednesday morning? Hopefully the tree service will all be done by Tuesday so we can just take it away after that. So thank you. The rest of the announcements you can read as you have time in the bulletin. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made, and we are more than excited to be here, Lord, in your presence. As the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so we come, Father. We come with our hearts and minds wide open to worship you. As you said in John 4, that you desire those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And so help us to do that today, Lord, by the Spirit of the living God. As we gather here in the name of Jesus Christ, your name, Jesus, that is above every name, your name at which you said in your word that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And Father, as we're here, we know there's several who would long to be with us, but because of health issues, various things are not able to be with us yet. We lift them up too, Lord, and pray that as they listen to the service, that your presence would just fill their homes and their lives as you do here today with us who are gathered as brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you for your goodness, for your blessings of all of your creation, Father, for the blessing of our salvation that comes through Jesus Christ alone. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand, please. Our opening hymn will be number 11 if you want the hymn book. Otherwise, the words are, of course, on the screen. Come, thou fount of every blessing, number 11.
For so
Amen. So we thank God for the blessings he pours out on us. Well, before you're seated, give a wave or something to those around you, a bump or whatever you want to do. Okay. Morning. And we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Again, a special welcome to everybody. I have quite a list here of things that I'll start out with. Pat Palmerville, her heart went into AFib on Thursday, so she was, of course, went to the hospital. They did shock it back into rhythm. She still is in the hospital there at Yankton as they're trying to adjust her meds to get that to work how it should. So be praying for her and Lee. Also, Terry Seiler, Fred's wife, wants special prayers here. Terry hasn't been feeling good for, 3 months or so, and they've been doing different tests. Did a CT scan this week and found some spots on her lung. So Tuesday, she's going in to have some biopsies done on those. So be lifting her up and Fred during this time. Also, for Les and Kathy Melhoff, Les has had a pretty difficult week. Kathy said yesterday, actually has sort of declined from where he was before that surgery that they did. Joyce Fry, that would be like Karen Schultz's mother. She passed away this week, and her funeral was yesterday over at the Scotland Community Church. Prayers for that family. Also for our accompanist, Cindy's grandpa, Charlie Deicher. He's in hospice care over in Scotland. And as well, Joy Haas's mother, Vesta Loudenschlager. I think I got that right. She's in hospice care in Sioux Falls. So lots to be praying about. Our Menno Mad Frogs, they won Friday night in their district tournament, so they'll be playing this Tuesday night here. The districts are all here this year. They'll be playing at 8 o'clock Tuesday night. There's games today, Scotland and Leicesterville, if you're interested, play at 5, and Freeman and Irene at 7, I believe. And on that note of the Mad Frogs, I think of Tyler and Jenna Miller, and today is their 6th wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary to you guys. Anything else? Yes, Ivana? And today is Marina Schaefer's birthday. Happy birthday, Marina. Yeah. Yes. And we have Taylor Anderson with us today and Caleb, her friend. Welcome. Now you're both involved in the Navigators? Yeah. Okay. They do mission work at the University of Minnesota with the Navigators. And so Taylor will be back on August 16th to give us a report of how things have gone this last year. She'll share part of the service, and we'll have a special offering for her that day for another year of support. So keep that in mind. God bless you guys for what you do. It's wonderful. Amen. Anything else over here? Jenna? Miles turned what? Next Sunday, Miles Miller will be 4. All right, Miles. Good job. He's up there pretty high. He told me at the baseball game Friday night, you know what? My dad has a tractor that drives by itself. Yeah, drives by itself. I'm like, that's pretty good, Miles. Maybe I wasn't supposed to tell that, but I thought he was pretty excited about that deal. Okay, anybody else? All right, let's pray then. Father, we love you and we worship you and we thank you that we can have this time as the family of God where we share our joys and our concerns and our needs and certainly birthdays. I know there's others and we ask your blessing upon each one. We thank you for Taylor and Caleb here from the cities and for the work they do with the Navigators, so necessary on our college campuses to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless them for what they do. Give them boldness and great wisdom. And we pray for the financial support that they need to do this. Thank you for keeping them safe in this ministry. Lord, for many health concerns here, as I said them. For Terry Seiler, we pray for Fred and Terry as Terry goes in for these biopsies on Tuesday. Help that to go well as they go into the lungs to do that. And Lord, you are the one who is all-knowing, and we just trust you in this. For whatever lies ahead, you are sovereign, and your presence is always with us. So thank you for healing and strength to her through this time. Guard their hearts with your peace, Lord, we pray, your peace that passes all understanding. For these others, we continue to lift up Pat Palmerville and Les Melhoff as they are in need of healing. We pray for Charlie Deitcher and Vesta Laudenschlager as they're in hospice care. Father, minister to them your comfort as you hold them in your everlasting arms and be with their families. We pray for the family of Joyce Fry as she went home to be with you this last week. Thank you for comfort to her family, to her husband, and to all the extended family there. Father, we want to say thank you for the beautiful rain you brought on Friday through the night. It was a wonderful blessing, so very timely, and we just trust you for what is needed to bring the crops to full fruition, and we ask for your protection upon the crops during this time, Lord. Keep them from damaging storms, we pray. For our nation, Lord, we daily lift up our nation as we are in need of great healing. We are in need of a great awakening by the Spirit of the living God. As we just sang, Jesus, you are the hope of the nations. And you are truth in every circumstance. You are the rock upon whom we stand, and there is no other. So, Father, I know you are doing a mighty work by the Spirit of the living God that we don't even see yet, but we will, and we praise you for it by faith. Thank you for opening the eyes of the understanding of this nation to you, Jesus, and your word. We pray, Lord, for all of the healthcare workers in the midst of the ongoing COVID virus, and give them strength, especially those working every day on the front lines in the medical field, and as they have to mask up and wear all of the extra equipment. Lord, give them strength. Keep them safe. Thank you. Cindy is one of them. And Lord, we lift up those. I think of those who are with child in their womb as you're knitting them together so wonderfully. Cindy and Hillary and another one in the congregation that I'm not allowed to say yet, but you know who it is. And so thank you for watching over these expectant mothers, Lord, and giving them strength day by day, Father, in Jesus' name. We lift our troops up always, here at home and abroad. Father, I know there's several National Guard troops in the area who are on their two-week drill, and give them strength through that. Thank you for all those serving abroad. We ask that you give your angels charge over them to guard and keep them in all of their ways. Lord, for anything else that maybe wasn't mentioned, but you know our hearts, we lift to you. Thank you for the work that you do in our lives every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So before we, I'm used to saying receive the offering, but you all know the offering box is there in back still during this time. But I will read 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen. Let's stand, please, and we'll sing the doxology.
Thank you.
Father, we do praise you for your great plan of redemption that you had even before the creation of the world. You had it all planned out. You knew exactly what you were going to do. And so you sent us, Jesus, and we say thanks be to God for your indescribable gift. Because you gave so freely to us, we return our offerings, our tithes to you with joyful hearts, thanking you for the blessings that you pour out upon us so incredibly. Take these gifts, I pray, and multiply them, Lord, for the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for our Kingdom Kids time. If there's little ones visiting, they can come up and sit on the step if they feel comfortable doing that.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Come on up. How are you all today? Good. It's good to see everybody here. Go ahead. You can sit right over here. There you go. Well, two weeks ago, we talked all about that God knows us. Do you remember? He knows us. We cannot hide from him. He knows all about us. Then last Sunday, we talked about that God is always with us. Remember the thumb? Our thumb is always with us, just like God is always with us. And today we're going to talk about something else. What do I have here? M&M's. What color do you think is the best? Tastes the best. Green? All of them? They're the same, but they look differently, don't they? All of them? Nobody likes red better than blue? You like red, right? So is his idea better to like red than green or yellow? No, they're different colors, right? The maker of these M&Ms made them different. Just like you and I are made different. God has created us in unique ways too. So let's talk about some things that God has made us. So when I say something, if it's you, you stand up, all right? So if you have curly hair, stand up. Okay, you can sit down. If you are right-handed, stand up. Oh boy, that's just about everybody. Okay, sit down. If you are left-handed, stand up. Oh, we got a few there. Okay, you can sit down. How about who has freckles? Oh, nobody's going to admit to that. I'll stand up. I have freckles. Okay, let's see if I have any more of those. Oh, how about this last one? Who can roll their tongue like this? If you can roll it, you gotta show me. There's one. Good. Yes, right. Well, do you know that God has made us all different? And we're all uniquely made. Uniquely made. In fact, it says in Psalms 139:14, listen to this. I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well. So how are we made? Fearfully and wonderfully. That is who made us. God made us. So sometimes, though, do we say, well, I wish I was taller. Do we ever say that? Wish my hair was curly. Those of you who have curly, you know, good thing, Trent. You don't want curly hair, right? Some of us with curly hair says, I wish my hair was straight. But whenever we do any of those things, we need to remember God made us. And so instead of thinking about the negative things maybe that we don't like about ourselves, because we all have things we don't like about ourselves, when we look in the mirror, let's remember what God says about us. He tells us that who made us?
God
made us, and he made us wonderfully. So let's remember that. Next time we might not think so, all right? Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you that you not only know us, you live inside of us, but you made us, each and every one of us. Just like the chocolate person that made those, the chocolate maker of the M&Ms made them all different colors. You've made us all different. Help us to know that you are the one that made us, so we will praise you and love you because you don't make mistakes. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to have a good week and to bless them and help them to bless others and let others know that you made them too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can come and get an M&M's to help you remember that God made you, and you can get a paper from Denise's right behind me. Go right behind me.
Thank you, Ann. We will sing number 88. You can remain seated. 88, Lord, you are more precious than silver, and we'll sing that through twice. Let's pray once more, please. Father, that is such beautiful words there that we sing. You are more precious to us than silver. You are more costly than gold. You are more beautiful than diamonds. And so is your word, and nothing we desire compares with you. That's why we gather here. That's why we look into your word today and hopefully every day of the week. Because we long for you. We long to be fed by the spiritual food of your word. As you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we live according to your word. Open the eyes of our understanding again today. We ask as we look into it. I ask, Father, that you would speak through me by the Holy Spirit of God, that I may proclaim your word with all boldness. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're on Psalm 139. We'll wrap this up today, our third Sunday on it. Actually, there's so much in this psalm, it's incredible. I'll read here the first six verses starting out that we looked at 2 weeks ago. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So we went through those verses. If you're filling in your outline there in the bulletin, that first blank and the letter A, God knows you. And the amazing thing we saw here is that in the original Hebrew, God chose to use seven different Hebrew words in those six verses to say, to describe how intimately he knows us. Nothing is hidden from his sight. And so letter B there, so, and God pursues you. He wants a relationship with you. That's pretty amazing. Now, before we read verse 7, I just have to tell my side of the story on this, and Ann will tell hers some other day, I suppose. As we were with the Navajos, and I was out there first for 2 years, and here Ann shows up to work with the mission work as well. And, of course, we're the only two white people there in the community, and so right away, people, including the pastor who was Navajo that I was working with, tries to start pushing us together. And Ann was pursuing me. She was pursuing me. And I thought it should be the other way around, you know. And so I won't go into the rest of the details, but it all worked out. We're 27 years married now, so praise the Lord. God pursues you. He wants that relationship with you. And so verse 7, David, he's saying, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So in other words, from height to depth, God's there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, that's the east. If I settle on the far side of the sea, that's the west. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. We looked at 1 John that last week there briefly. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And then we looked at four different examples last Sunday of people that tried to run from God or hide from him. Adam and Eve in the garden, he pursued them. Jonah and the whale tried to run from God. Nope. The prodigal son? Nope, there the father was waiting and ran to him. How about the invalid at the pool of Bethesda? No, Jesus pursued him. All four of those people we looked at. So why does he so passionately pursue each one of us? Letter C, because God himself made you. He made you, and that's what these next verses tell us. Verse 13, I think some of the most incredible verses in Scripture. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. That's where we'll stop for now. God himself made you. Every one of you, just like Ann was sharing with the M&Ms, all different colors. But on the inside, it's the same. And so, why would we want to hide from him? In verse 7, there, David is almost like, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. When we come, if I would have read verse 17, you see how precious to me, well, I did read it, are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them? He's like, why would I want to run from the Lord, to hide from him? So as we go in this, number one, the safest place, where should that be? When we're talking about these verses, the safest place should be in the mother's womb, as God is knitting these little ones together, as he knit you together, however long ago that time was. Verse 13 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That you created my inmost being. That he's talking about our spirit, our soul. That only he can do. We don't hear so much about it now, but it wasn't too many years ago, all the big excitement of, oh, so-and-so cloned the first sheep. What was her name? I don't know. Was it Dolly or what? The first sheep, and they try to clone these things, and then they think they can go on to whatever, to man. Can man ever clone a man or a woman? I don't think so. Because man cannot create a human spirit. That is what separates us, mankind, humankind, from all the animals, from all else of God's creation. That's the main thing that makes us different, because we are spirit beings. What did God say in Genesis chapter 1, there, verse 26? God said, then let us, confirmation that always comes up. Good questions. Why does it say us? It's the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over, and he goes on, all the animals and so on. In the verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Three times in those two verses, he says, we are created in the image of God. Spirit beings, right? Remember how we always talk about that? I am a spirit being. That's my center, who I am. I have a soul. By that, I'm saying that's our mind and our emotions. And I live in a body. That's our three-part being, how God made us. Spirit, soul, body. When our last breath comes, spirit, soul, if we know Jesus, off to heaven instantly. The body is left behind. If we don't know Jesus, it's hell. That's how God planned. Did God create hell for mankind? It wasn't his original intent. But that's how it is. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7, it says, so the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. A spirit being. That's what the psalmist is saying. For God, Lord, you created my inmost being. Wow. What's the next one? It says, you knit me together. Let's talk about weaving together, right? The muscles, the ligaments, the arteries, the veins, all the organs, the everything. God so incredibly does that and is doing it with these that have little ones right now in their womb. It's amazing how he does that. This Psalm 139 is not the only scripture that tells us how life begins. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it's in your meditation part of the bulletin. What? He says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Pretty clear. Psalm 51, verse 5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. There it is again. Life begins at conception. God's word tells us that. These verses, you created, back to Psalms 139, my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Wow, speaks of just the intricate attention to detail that God gives to creating and knitting each one of us together by his Spirit. It's like I think of my mom. My mom, she doesn't quilt anymore, but she did for a lot of her years after us kids got out of the house, really. And you think of that, a quilt. Some of you ladies are quilters, you're seamstresses, and the attention you give to detail. And I can remember many times, if I'd be talking to my mom on the phone, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm working on this quilt, log cabin," or, you know, there's all these different patterns, right? "Oh, how's that going?" "Oh, I spent almost the whole day ripping out these stitches because the corners did not match up." Exactly. And she'd knit with skill and precision. I'm not trying to brag on her, but if it did not match up all that stuff, it was not going to be good enough. And she'd take it all apart and start that section over again every time. I was going to bring, we have a lot of her quilts at home. I almost brought the one over this morning. I didn't, maybe should have. That in, what was it? I wrote in 2006, August, she won the best of show at the Sioux Empire Fair on her quilt. That's pretty amazing, I think, for the Sioux Empire Fair. And we have it in our living room. And she'll ask about that every so often. The struggles, that those that you don't know her, she struggles greatly, greatly with her health right now. We got them an iPad for my mom's birthday, and so she can be so observant about things, yet. One time as we were, so she's seeing our living room as we're talking to her on this, and we got a new sort of recliner chair thing, the first of the year. "Oh, you got a new couch in your living room." I'm like, okay. She hasn't been to our house since Caleb and Rachel's wedding. One time she said, "Oh, where's that quilt of mine? I don't see it in the living room." I had to say, "It's in our bedroom right now on the quilt stand, sorry. But we will get it in the living room, Mom. We will get it in the living room. And it is in the living room today. If you want to come see it, you sure can." So, but that detail, that's God, to us, takes a very active personal role in knitting us together just exactly as he wants us to be. So one was the safest place. That should be there. How about second, verse 14? "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are." Boy, that's a verse you ought to have memorized. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works," he says, "Lord, are wonderful, and I know that full well." In other words, this guy, David, writing this by the Spirit of God, or anybody to say this, he was not an agnostic, right? What's an agnostic? An agnostic would say, well, okay, if there is a God, we cannot know him. I'll give you, maybe there's a God, but we can't know him. That's an agnostic. An atheist, there is no God. No God. Somebody once said, you probably heard it, there were no atheists in the foxholes. Right? When you're getting attacked and bullets are flying, there's a lot of prayers going on in those holes. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you are. And you got to know that, every one of you. You know, especially in the growing up years, middle school, those can be tough years. High school, can be tough years. Stuff being said, kids that age are trying to find themselves and go through lots of things, and words can come that, And you know what? The devil jumps on that, starts telling people it can happen even in our adult years. Right? "Oh, yeah, that's just what they said. That's true. That's how you are." And tries to slam us down, right? No, you got to come back with the word, with those thoughts. No. God said in his word that I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Satan, you shut up and get out of here in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, because he made you, he knit you together in that way. I think of this at times, I think especially those gifted in medical science, how can they not believe in the Creator, as they learn the intricacies of the body and all the ins and outs? I've said this before when I was in pharmacy college and we learned all the systems of the human body, and I couldn't quote them to you now. That was 40 plus year. No, not 40 plus, because this is my 40th class reunion, so not 40 plus. Back 40 under. I just sit there amazed in those pharmacy classes, learning all those cycles and how if this part of this cycle fails, there's this one that compensates and takes over. And how could you not believe in our Creator God, our Heavenly Father? It's incredible. The new living of that verse 14, which I love, thank you, God, for making me so wonderfully complex. And he did. Your workmanship is marvelous. When God made you, you've heard this saying, right? When God made you, he broke the mold. Now, sometimes we use that if someone is very unique, right? But we are all unique, right? Yeah, we are all. When God made you, he broke the mold, or he threw away the mold. And how incredible, too, that our fingerprints, and I looked this up again just to make sure with the latest technology and knowledge of science that it still holds true, and it does, I'm going to read this. No two people have been found to have the same fingerprints. They are totally unique. Fingerprints are even more unique than your DNA. Wow. That's the genetic material that in each of our cells. Listen to this. It says, although identical twins can have the same DNA, at least most of it, they cannot have the same fingerprints. Is that incredible? Of the millions, billions on the planet, and all those that have ever lived, we all have our own unique set of fingerprints. Wow, that's amazing. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we reverence God our Father as our Creator with our life, our very life. All life matters, even life in the womb. Not to knock COVID or anything, because it is a serious thing. But we know it right now. So what in our nation, I looked this up this morning, there's about the reported 149,000 deaths in the nation. Do you know how many abortions there are in the nation? Latest figures I found were in 2017, 862,320,000. So just over 862,000. And yet that just seems to be all okay. That's life. That is life from the moment of conception. God have mercy upon us. I read, as I was looking, I found this just one, and we'll go on to number three here in a second. According to this, it was called the Susan B. Anthony List that gave some of these statistics. It said in the 2018/2019 year, abortions make up 95% of Planned Parenthood's pregnancy resolution services. 95%. And for every one adoption referral that they give, nearly 81 abortions are performed. In other words, 82 people come in seeking advice about what to do here. Well, I think you need an abortion, 81 times before one would say, you know what, there is the option of adoption. There's that movie Unplanned. It should be in the church library. If you haven't watched it, you need to. Deals with this very thing. It's an excellent movie. So, God help us. Three, God is actively involved. Verse 15 and 16, my frame was hidden from you when I was made in the secret. What was not hidden from you? Excuse me. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. The secret place, the depths of the earth, those both of those words, phrases talking about the womb. 3,000 years ago when this was written, could they see in the womb? Did they know anything in the womb? Hardly. So dark and mysterious. And so the Spirit of God knows, of course. Even go back 58 years ago when my mother was pregnant with my twin brother and I. And we were born on June 11th. And June 1st, she was having some bad labor pains. She was pretty big. Did not know there were twins inside. 11 days before, she had no clue she was having twins. That's only 58 years ago. That's not that long ago. You might think so now if you're young, but it's not. Went to the doctor, said, well, let's do an x-ray. This was up in the hospital in Eureka, South Dakota. My dad's first church was right across the border in Zeeland, North Dakota. Went to Eureka where the hospital was. Let's take an x-ray. Oh, you're having twins, Ina. Guess what? Whoa, wow, twins. Praise the Lord. And there we came. Both 7 pounds. 7 pounds. Yes. God is actively involved in all of this. And letter D here, He has specific plans just for you. Just for you. Look at verse 16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me, David is saying, are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with you. What's he saying? He is just overwhelmed of the thought of how intricately God knows him. At first, as we went through verse 7, he's like, oh, this is almost more than I can handle. We talked about that, right? Our thoughts in many ways are very private to us. There are many things we think, I hope, that never come out of this mouth. There's many things that do come out of the mouth that we're like, why did I say that? Right? And so that's overwhelming to David at first. And as he meditates on it more and this whole psalm comes out, he's like, wow, God, this is so incredible that you know all this about me, my history, my future, my everything, and you love me. You love me, and you've planned out my life. What about that? All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Think of an architect or an engineer, okay? Before he or she builds, he or she, they draw out a model, right? First, they give a draft, let's say, of a house. Right? It's all drafted out on paper. Every detail of it. In every room, here's where the outlets will be. Here's the bathroom, the toilet, the plumbing, the shower, all of that, the living room, the kitchen. It's all drawn out on paper before it's ever done, isn't it? That's sort of what God's saying here. All the days ordained for me, for you, were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's how it is. Now, some of you, you're able to envision those things better if you're building a house or remodeling or so on. Some, not like me, I have a hard time. Even when they remodeled the master bathroom over at the parsonage through this last year, they had it just sketched out, you know, a little bit, the guys, and I'm like, okay, well, I could get where the toilet's going. Yeah, I got that part down, and okay, and taking that closet out and making that the big walk-in shower and the sink and it is beautiful If you want to see that sometime, let us know. It really is. When 4th of July, when Mark's and Scott's families were all here, of course, they knew what was happening before. Let's see the new bathroom. Yeah, we took them in there. Scott and his wife both said, wow, that's so cool that here you go, church, that your congregation does so good in taking care of that parsonage. They were impressed. So God bless you. It is beautiful. It truly is. But then once it's done, it's like, yeah, I see it. I see it. So God knows your future. I don't want to put a couple on the spot here this morning, but I'm going to. So I maybe should have said this in the joys and concerns, but since I'm speaking about this, it just comes to mind. We have our new principal and his wife, and the little boy is here at least, right? Is your daughter here with you today? Yeah, she's going to be sixth grader. Sawyer's going to be second grade. So they're with us in church, and welcome, and God bless you. You guys greet them if you have a chance afterwards. Welcome to our community. We're thrilled to have you. God knew before you knew that you were going to end up in Menno, South Dakota, to be our new principal. And Danielle is going to teach at one of the colonies, I think. Yeah? Okay. So, yes. And to follow out those plans, is that always just easy? It is not easy. It's step by step. And do we make mistakes? Yes. Do we get off track? Yes. But as we try our best, let's go back to the house. As we try our best to follow the plans, here's your blank. The house turns out beautiful. Second, if we're careless with the plans, thinking, oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I do in life. I don't care. God doesn't care. You know, that attitude, then you've got many troubles. Third, if you're going to do it your own way, which sort of plays into what I just said, I totally don't care. I don't even think God cares about my life. I don't even think he exists. Guess what? The consequences will follow. They will. So, I'm not going through the rest of the verses there, just because I want to wrap this up today, but as you read verse 19 through 22, well, that's pretty strong stuff. David is saying there, you know, God, I hate those who hate you. I wish you'd slay the wicked. And on he goes there. What happens, and what's happening there is the more we love God and his word, the more we do not like sin and the effects of it. I'm not saying we are never perfect and never will be on this life. But the more we draw closer to God, the more the works of darkness should be like, that I am uncomfortable with that, whatever it might be. That's what he's getting at. And then he asks God to search his heart. And so we need to. So just in these three Sundays on this, if you get discouraged, and we are living in difficult times, right? Boy, I probably have been more discouraged than not daily, but at times over these last, 4 months or whatever it's been now, then all of my years here, I have to say it, and I'm not going into the whys. It's been hard. It's been hard on all of us. The adjustments we have to make and all the changing of this and that and the plans and weddings and changes and on we could go. But you know what? We come back to this. God knows you. He pursues you because he has made you and he has plans for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, forgive us for doubting you. We all have times of that we go through. But you are there to lift us up, and you encourage us by your word, by your spirit, through our friendships of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you have wonderful plans. And Lord, we can say with the psalmist, and that my soul knows very well, and so we do. So thank you for your word once again. Help us to live for you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Take the Name of Jesus With You. 235, let's stand together as we sing that. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And as usual, we are going to sing God Bless America as a prayer for this great nation that we live in. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music today. And thank you all for coming, and have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.